Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Tax cut Christmas. The market will roar more. Best year ever. Well, these are the headlines. If you look at what's happening out there right now, they are the headlines as we approach Christmas of 2017. Yet at the same time, in the middle of this, there are more Americans, the reports are showing, are experiencing stress than ever before. There's war. There's rumors of war. There are nations threatening to rise up against other nations. They are really, ladies and gentlemen, strange times indeed. What was up is now down. What was wrong is now right. And then into the middle of all of that walks President Trump. He announces, the United Nations denounces, but rest assured, God pronounces. And that's our general theme for today's program. A little play on words. Trump announces, the UN denounces, but God pronounces. We're going to discuss the recent actions that actually are going on even as we speak right now. Actions of the United Nations denouncing President Trump's announcement as nations rise up against Israel. We're going to examine certain religious leaders as they condemn the president's action relative to Jerusalem and Israel. And we'll conclude with a brief recounting of the decisions made by President Trump in his first year. And then you can decide about whether or not you think what he has done is worthy of note or complaint. And with that, I welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Sam Rohr, and I'm going to be joined by Dr. Gary Dahl and Pastor Isaac Crockett. Our special guest for today is Bill Koenig. He's White House correspondent, and he is the founder of World Watch Daily, which you can find going to a website at watch.org. Very simple. It's a great place to go for very current and up-to-date news. Bill is going to provide special and inside views on several notable events that are really unfolding before our very eyes. Now, man, let me get right into it here with this theme here for today. The recent actions of the United Nations to condemn the announcement by President Trump regarding Jerusalem as the capital is increasing in tempo. Actually kind of surprising to me in some respects. But for example, on Monday of this week, now we're on Thursday, this program, Monday of this week, the UN Security Council sought to condemn the U.S. action. And thank the Lord, our UN ambassador did not shrink from the challenge. Let me read from one short article about how they summarized that occurrence there on Monday. Quote, the article reads, the United Nations Security Council learned a powerful lesson Monday night. You don't cross the United States UN Ambassador Nikki Haley if you want to maintain the structural integrity of your face. In yesterday's session, members of the Security Council introduced a petition meant to chastise the United States' decision to officially recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital city and forbid, by international edict, the United States from moving its embassy from its current location in Tel Aviv. 14 of the 15 Security Council members, including several American allies, voted in favor of the resolution. And then Nikki Haley got to speak. I'm still reading from this article. Not only did she use the United States veto power as a permanent Security Council member to kill the measure, but she tore into the other members of the council, eviscerating the blatant attempt to steal United States sovereignty and calling the resolution an insult that won't soon be forgotten, end quote. That's a key word. Well, they voted 14 to 1 against the United States, but Nikki Haley, the only vote against, also the veto, kept it from actually going into effect. Then yesterday, President Trump, surrounded by his security team, with Secretary of State Tillerson sitting to his right, made these comments, tying right into that it won't soon be forgotten statement or warning by Nikki Haley. Russ, if you could play that, please. This is President Trump yesterday.
I like the message that Nikki sent yesterday at the United Nations. For all of these nations that take our money and then they vote against us at the Security Council, or they vote against us potentially at the Assembly, they take hundreds of millions of dollars and even billions of dollars, and then they vote against us. Well, we're watching those votes. Let them vote against us. We'll save a lot. We don't care. But this isn't like it used to be, where they could vote against you and then you pay them hundreds of millions of dollars and nobody knows what they're doing. So, Nikki, that was the right message that you and I agreed to be sent yesterday. And I've had a lot of good comment on it, believe me. People are tired of the United States. The people that live here are great citizens that love this country. They're tired of this country being taken advantage of, and we're not going to be taken advantage of any longer.
Gary, let me start with you. Yesterday, we had IQ Arasuli on with us in response to the president's speech on national security just some days ago. IQ referred to the president's speech, which was very bold then, as Churchillian, as in Churchill. How would you describe what you just heard, the statement by the president and what he made there? How would you describe that, Gary?
Well, just drop back a little bit, Sam. Imagine telling Donald Trump that the United Nations is forbidding by international edict the United States from moving its embassy to Jerusalem. Imagine telling that to Donald Trump. You know, they should have known there's going to be some kind of a reaction towards that. And as I look at what he said, I see confidence, I see determination, I see power, I see leadership, I see a man who is acting as president of the United States of America. He's going to get things done.
Yeah, and Gary, I believe what he said too, don't you?
I do. He meant what he said. Absolutely. I mean, can you imagine? He doesn't care what they say. He's going to go ahead and make America stronger and put our embassy where it should be, in the capital of Israel, Jerusalem.
Well, let me bring in right now quickly Bill Koenig. Bill, I'll introduce you more firmly in the next segment, but in all your years of covering different White Houses as a White House correspondent, have you ever seen a U.S. president and a U.S. ambassador to the U.N. so directly and right smack in their face take on the entire U.N. body? Have you ever seen anything like this?
not even close. I know John Bolton was a great ambassador that President Bush had to sneak through during a recess appointment, or made him a recess appointment. He was strong, and we love hearing his commentary on Fox. But no, we've never seen anything like this, Sam. This is incredible. And as Gary just mentioned, I mean, they will follow up on what they said. They will, what they're talking about, they will do. And President Trump and Ambassador Haley are just the absolute perfect people for this hour. I know from my recent trip to Israel in October, friends of mine with the Israeli government and also the press office there, just absolutely said, you know, we could not have picked a better U.S. ambassador to the U.N. than Ambassador Haley. This is a great team.
It is a great team. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Stand in the Gap today. Gary Dohl, Isaac Crockett is with us, and I'm Sam Rohr. Our special guest, Bill Koenig, White House correspondent. Our theme, Trump announces, the U.N. denounces, and God pronounces. When we come back, we're going to pick up on more impact from the Jerusalem announcement. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the reality prophetically. Is Jerusalem becoming that troublesome stone?
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teacher's editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The Handy Guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriots Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Just a few weeks ago, President Trump announced that the United States was recognizing Jerusalem as the historic and perpetual capital of Israel. Been a lot of commentary on that, ladies and gentlemen. You know that, I know that, but boy, oh boy, we can't let it alone because the rest of the world is not letting it alone. True Christians, I'm putting it that way, true Christians and Jews rejoiced. But nations and national leaders and other key religious leaders condemned it. And now Jerusalem is becoming in vivid color what was prophesied in Zechariah of the Old Testament in chapter 12, verse 3. I'm going to read that. It says this, "And in that day I will make Jerusalem," God saying that, "I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it shall be cut in pieces, and all the nations of the earth will gather against it." Gather against it, meaning Jerusalem, and therefore Israel. And in some respects, the nations of the earth, embodied by the United Nations, have gathered against Jerusalem, perhaps already, we could say, in the form of a resolution just 2 days ago. And to examine the impact of this international gathering and how it fits into prophecy, we're going to invite back now, officially, Bill Koenig. He is White House correspondent. He's a recurring expert guest on this program. He's also the founder of World Watch Daily, which you can find their news items there by just simply going to watch.org. With that, I officially welcome you to the program again, Bill. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Sam. Always great to be with you. Appreciate it.
Let me get right into this, Bill. Since President Trump's announcement of Jerusalem as capital, he and Benjamin Netanyahu, right at that same day and the day after, began to call on other nations to come alongside and recognize Jerusalem. But other than the Czech Republic and a few African nations, of which I've been able to find some, only a few have indicated even a willingness to join in. Does that surprise you?
Not totally. Somewhat of a surprise, Sam, is just how fast this became such a central focus of the nations of the world. That has been amazing. And I might add Hungary to that list. The Czech Republic and Hungary stopped the EU in doing a unanimous condemnation of President Trump's decision on Jerusalem. I give the Czech Republic and Hungary a lot of credit because that was bold. And then Netanyahu had a chance to go to the EU, meet with the EU foreign ministers, and said, you know, in time, you will come alongside what President Trump has done and stated, and we'll be in agreement. And they immediately chastised Netanyahu for making that comment. So, because this is, as you read there, Zechariah 12:3, this will become a focus of the world. Jerusalem has always been important during the peace, so-called peace process. But I think of that so often. I think of W.A. Criswell, the pastor in Dallas. He used to always say, if you want to know where things are standing prophetically, watch what's happening with the city of Jerusalem. And we have a front row seat right now, Sam.
Well, Bill, that is very helpful information. This is Isaac Crockett, and I do thank you so much for being on the program. So what we saw happening on Monday, where the globalists and the UN tried to ram something kind of down our throats and Ambassador Haley vetoed it, we saw again on Tuesday that the entire UN had a vote, and most of them, 176-7, voted in favor of assuring a Palestinian homeland, this two-state solution. Basically, we're seeing this complete hatred of Israel by the globalists, these arrogant, you know, group of people, it seems. In your opinion, the way that they are pouncing on us and denouncing the United States and Israel over Jerusalem, as you pointed out, the city that really shows us where we're at prophetically, is that then, would you say, a link directly to God's pronouncement that Jerusalem would become a heavy stone to the nations?
No doubt about it. You know, you touch Jerusalem, you touch the state of Israel, you touch the land of Israel, you attempt to divide the land of Israel. You can look at Joel 3:2 and how God will judge those nations. And also in Zechariah 12:9, that God will bring the nations of the world against Jerusalem and destroy them. He will deal with them. And we're watching this play out right before our eyes. And, you know, and these votes have been overwhelmingly in favor of the Palestinians this week. But what's interesting is just a couple minutes ago, I got the vote total after what Trump and Nikki Haley said to the international community, we're going to take note. The vote to condemn Trump just came in at 128, 9 no's, and 35 abstentions. So that dropped down considerably from the 170 to 180 level that we had earlier in the week. So on that side note for America, I fully believe that God will bless President Trump, his administration, and our nation, according to Genesis 12:3, for those that stand with Israel, stand with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants, and we're going to witness that in a very significant way. This was a very courageous decision by President Trump, and he's had the perfect ambassador that's been there from day one, standing with the state of Israel and condemning these nations that continue to come up with resolutions that are in opposition to the state of Israel. And in many ways, anti-Semitic.
Bill, I can't tell if you're excited or not. I'm saying that kind of jokingly. because I am. I don't know how anybody can watch what's going on without saying, wow, before our eyes. Now, let me go further with the United Nations. Historically, and by its very charter, the UN is to become the world's central government. They've talked about that. Our past presidents, from Bill Clinton to the Bushes to Obama, they all walked in sync, advancing the interests of the New World Order, this global government, what they often referred to as the best insurance policy for world peace. And I want to find out from you, do you think that this current challenge of the UN's power by the United States, by President Trump, and put it the other way, the UN's challenge of the United States by doing this kind of voting that they're trying to do, when we look at this and we know that ultimately there's going to be a one world government that's going to come to place, the Antichrist is going to come out of that power base, it almost looks like you have two major sides of this equation, the UN, and you have the United States and Israel. But in terms, if you link this all with prophecy, when you look at it, how do you think it's going to play out? Is President Trump's threat to cut funding to the United Nations going to make the United Nations bow, or is the United Nations' threat to the United States going to make the United States bow? How do you see these pieces working out? Because right now, we don't have two guys that can walk together. There's a conflict here.
This is going to be a very interesting relationship and dynamics to follow, Sam. This is going to be so interesting. There will be no one world United Nations order as long as we are here, as long as the evangelical Christians, the believers are still here in this planet, whether it's President Trump or Pence and many members of Congress who are Christians. We're going to be a force till the Lord takes us. And I think that this will be significant because, I mean, from the day one, if you start really following what Ambassador Haley was saying at the UN from day one, she said there's a new sheriff in town. She condemned these resolutions against Israel. I mean, this was a whole different day. I mean, we're giving 25% of the UN budget to the UN. They're headquartered there in New York City, and I think Trump and Haley and many Americans and also members of Congress look at the UN as a paper tiger. And then you have all these resolutions that are so one-sided against Israel and anti-Semitic. And then, you hear it, you hear the UN over the years, it's a group of dictators and despots, 55-plus countries that fit that bill. And a very large, some of those countries are Muslim countries also. So we got a power center right now here in Washington, D.C., that's going to hold them accountable, and they're going to take them on. I listened to the speeches at the U.N. On the Trump resolution, and it's just, this is illegal. How dare he was illegal? How dare he did this? This is against international law. This is against U.N. resolutions. This is against U.N. General Assembly resolutions. Just condemning the United States for coming against the U.N. Well, this is the kind of fight Trump and Nikki Haley are suited for, so it will be very interesting following this in the days ahead, Sam.
Well, I think, Bill, that when I played that clip at the beginning of the program with the president, he said, look, we don't care. To me, I sensed there was a message he was sending, but he was angry, too. He was angry at them doing that kind of challenge, which is what I'm saying. And I think your answer is saying, as long as we are Christians are here, this is going to remain. But obviously what you're saying also is when we as Christians disappear, as in rapture, then things would turn overnight, would they not?
Absolutely, absolutely, because we won't be there. And the whole world will be shaken. The whole world will be impacted by the disappearance of millions and millions and millions of Christians, not only in our country but around the world, but especially our country, because we're the dominant force here.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you wonder, when we talk about being salt and light, does that make a difference? Yeah, that's kind of what Bill's talking about. When the salt's here, when Christians are here, you see the kinds of things that are happening. It really, at the highest of levels, there's a contest. There's a contest on the ground. That's why we say and encourage you to stand in the gap for truth, because it makes that kind of a difference. Now, when we come back after this break, we're going to continue on in this theme, and we're going to talk about not about nations necessarily that are opposing Israel and the president's announcement, but we're going to talk about religious leaders who have come out against it.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, if you're just joining us on Stand in the Gap Today, we are thankful that you are and taking the time to be with us. This is a fantastic program from the standpoint of its currency, ladies and gentlemen. Some of you who listen to the program do not get to hear the Fox News that occurs at the bottom of the hour on our anchor station, WFYL, out of King of Prussia. But we were just commenting as a Stand in the Gap team that how often the news that we cover on this program happens to be top of the hour Fox News. Now, it's unrelated. We're not doing it because what they're doing, but we say when we try to bring to you the news of the day, we really are. It is the news of the day, but it's a whole different perspective because we look at it through the lenses of the Scripture and the Constitution. It makes a difference. So if you are just listening to us and joining us and didn't catch the first part of the program, I encourage you to go to our website, standinthegapradio.com, pick up the archives there. And if you have not downloaded our free app for your smartphone, iPhone, or Android, just go to your store and put in the phrase, Stand in the Gap. That's all you need to do. Download the free app. You can listen to the programs live or in archive form at your convenience. You can communicate to us. We can communicate to you. And you can partner with us financially, which I would really strongly encourage you to do, ladies and gentlemen. This is a ministry of the American Pastors Network. If you enjoy this program, if you enjoy the guests that we have, if you enjoy the news that we bring, we need your help. Even $10 a month, if you could do that with us, would make possible this program continuing and expanding across the country. So I'll just leave it at that. Now, as we go on in this program here right now, we're going to stay on this theme of Trump announces, the UN denounces, and God pronounces. But it wasn't just national leaders, as we have heard and seen, that opposed what the president did in his announcement on Jerusalem, but it's also religious leaders. And since that overwhelming UN vote, 176-7 on Tuesday, and then the UN security vote, 14-1, condemning the action on Monday, it's very clear that it's really the U.S. and Israel against the world. I don't know how else you look at it. In many respects, it's exactly where biblical prophecy leads us, and it's where ultimately Israel will be at one point, where it's going to be just literally them against the world, and at that point, the Lord himself will come to their physical aid. But interesting, not only are the nations of the world condemning Israel, so are certain religious leaders. The most prominent is the Roman Catholic Church, led by Pope Francis. And we're going to talk about what's the significance of this opposition. Why is he or they doing that? With that, I'm going to welcome back in right now Bill Koenig, White House correspondent and founder of World Watch Daily. Bill, President Trump made the announcement on December 6th. National leaders came out in opposition, but so did the Pope. He was very quick to come out. Let me quote just one piece from the Financial Times paper on this, where it says this, quote, Pope Francis took indirect aim at Mr. Trump's plan on Wednesday, adding his voice to warnings by Arab and Muslim leaders that recognizing Jerusalem as the Israeli capital would have dangerous repercussions. He said, quote, I cannot hide my deep concern for the situation that has been created in the last few days, and at the same time, I offer a heartfelt appeal for the commitment of all to respect the status quo of the city in conformity with the pertinent UN resolutions, end quote. Pope Francis said, Jerusalem is a unique city, sacred for the Jews, Christians, and Muslims who venerate the holy sites, their respective religions, and as a special vocation for peace, end quote. Bill, the first question I have for you is this. Why does the Pope and the Catholic Church so strongly oppose what the Bible says about Israel and Jerusalem? And why is this Pope in particular so enamored with setting up a Palestinian state?
Well, the Catholic Church is not premillennial in their dispensation. They are amillennial. They also are the largest replacement theology church in the world, believing that after Christ's burial and resurrection, that God was finished with this Jewish people and the state of Israel. 27% of our Bible, Sam, as you know, is Bible prophecy. The Catholic Church, as well as a few of the other replacement theology churches, look at Bible prophecy as allegorical and literal and not relevant to this day. We that follow the prophetic scriptures of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Zechariah, Ezekiel, and others, that's our roadmap. That's our focus on the importance of Jerusalem, the state of Israel, the Judea, Samaria, and that the God of Israel did not intend Judea and Samaria to be an Arab state. And we also know, as we've discussed in the first half hour, that Jerusalem will become that burdensome stone. And we are so blessed to be a minority of the church, evangelicals, that fully understand the biblical significance of the state of Israel. And at this point, especially the significance of the city of Jerusalem. The Vatican, during Pope John Paul's time, he had a real tight relationship with the Palestinians. He, in 2000, before his visit to Israel, spoke of Jerusalem as an international city for Christians, Muslims, and Jews to enjoy that. Obviously, the state of Israel immediately rebuked the Pope over the statements. But you also have a lot of bishops that are in high-level positions with the Vatican Church that are Palestinians. And so there is definitely a bias toward the Palestinians or in this situation. They have no problem seeing the land of Judea, Samaria, given up for the promise of a two-state, such as Palestine. And then also the Vatican, they have full arrangements with Palestine. They have an agreement that states Palestine as the future Palestinian state. So they have diplomatic relationships with Palestine. So there's a lot to this, Sam. It's a pretty lengthy summary, but there is a lot to this long-time relationship with the Catholics, with the Palestinians, and with Muslims in an attempt to bring this international city to Jerusalem, which is in their vision.
Bill, when you put it down to the foundational concept here, you've just got to recognize that the Catholic Church is not biblically based, nor do they interpret Scripture at all in any form of accuracy. They do not believe in the authority of Scripture, and so it doesn't surprise me what comes out of the Vatican. I mean, you know, they go on tradition more than they do on what God's Word says, and I just wanted to say that. But
yes,
to further substantiate the question that Sam raised here a bit ago, just Wednesday, the Catholic Church's top official in Jerusalem criticized Donald Trump in his recognition of Jerusalem as being Israel's capital, saying that it damaged Christmas celebrations and led to hundreds of trips being canceled by the tourists. Now, my question to you is simply this. What has been the impact on tourism to Israel as the result of the president's announcement? Has it been as significant as this fellow has said, or is there a different attitude over there in Israel, even concerning the tourist and the average Israeli?
Well, I don't buy the tourism thing. I was in Israel 3 times this year, and I tell you, every time I'm there, I marvel at how many people are coming to Israel. It's like never before. And I think the enthusiasm toward Israel has never been stronger, especially from the evangelicals. That might affect some of the Catholic tour groups, even though I'm not fully, I don't fully believe that either. And also, this gentleman also said that when Vice President Pence comes to Israel, he was supposed to come this week, but that's been postponed because of the legislation having to do with the tax changes. He said it's going to be uncomfortable. We're going to have an uncomfortable time because I guess the Vice President Pence's office had already talked to them about visiting some of the holy sites that the Catholic Church controls in Jerusalem. So I think this is just ridiculous. Again, not understanding the biblical picture, as you said, Gary, they don't see it. You know, we studied the prophecy closely right now to fully understand the significance of the times, and also at the same time motivate us to continue to share the gospel because time is running out. And that's the way I look at this. I think it's all very beneficial. But again, as I mentioned, W.A. Criswell in Dallas, First Baptist Dallas, said, if you want to know where things are standing, watch what they're doing with Jerusalem, God's time clock. And we're right there right now.
Well, there's no doubt that we are. Okay. And, you know, I've often said that we are living in exciting times. And I suppose we could almost say that the prophetic time clock is up at about 5 minutes to 12. And I'm excited about it.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and we just have a few seconds here, but you were talking about the replacement theology of the Catholic Church. What about the Orthodox Church, Church of England? Are they taking a similar stance as the Catholic Church?
They haven't been as motivated, Isaac, but they'll say something. It won't have the weight that the Pope has because of the billion Catholics worldwide, reported billion Catholics worldwide. So, no, they'll take that position as well as the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Lutheran, and some of the other churches. They do not study Bible prophecy. You'll hear something from them at some point. But most of the focus so far in this first couple of weeks has been the statements by the Vatican. And also King Abdullah from Jordan was there to meet with the Pope this week for 20 minutes. And also Erdogan has been on the phone with the Pope ever since December 6th to discuss this as well, the Turkish president.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're hearing a lot of information. Again, you don't hear anywhere else, and we're glad that you're here with us now. Now, we're going to shift just a little bit from the focus on the president's announcement and the UN's involvement and religious leaders' opposition. We're going to stay with the president, though. And in this last segment, we're going to go to a little bit of a year in review. We're going to talk to Bill Koenig about what has happened. He's been there with a number of presidents. What has this president done that's noteworthy? How significantly different from other presidents has he been?
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Our last segment here, theme, is going to be Trump's first year in review. You decide. Now, there's a lot of things we know that what the president has done. There's probably a lot more that we don't know what's been done in policy. And so as we approach the end of this year, we thought it would be good to just to back up, look back over the year, take stock of what's actually happened under the direction of this administration. I know that all Americans and Christian Americans in particular looked at the Obama administration and marveled, at least I did anyways, I marveled at how quick those sweeping changes were that he made and how quickly he moved to undercut and sabotage our Constitution, our Christian values, our heritage, and to compromise our very Judeo-Christian culture. Well, one could make the case that this first year, President Trump, he's also moved in quick fashion with the pendulum moving about as far back as possibly one man could actually do that in the space of actually less than 12 months. But we're going to take a look at that now with our special guest, Bill Koenig. He's been in the White House for a long time. He covers things there. He's a correspondent there, and he's also founder of World Watch Daily. So, Bill, let me start with you on this and just have you, as you surmise and looking at circumstances in Washington there, you've covered a lot of presidents. You got a lot of comparison there. What would be the most distinctive, perhaps, characteristic or change, perhaps, it could be policy or whatever, about this president compared to the others? And I'll put it in a context, good and bad. Define this president.
Well, I think that number one is why evangelicals supported him was the promises that he would put conservative judges in our judiciary, on the benches. Gorsuch, Neil Gorsuch, has already become a force in the Supreme Court, a very gifted Supreme Court justice, filling the lower courts with good conservative judges quickly. A lot of this, we're going to hear a lot more about this soon, Sam. It's starting to come out, but they were able to accomplish a lot, probably more so than any other president in his first year, some in their whole four-year term. Secondly, international stage, NATO. We have 24 countries out of 28 that haven't been putting their money up front or your commitments to NATO. You're in arrears. You haven't paid it. He's been able to pick up $7 or $8 billion from the NATO countries to fulfill their obligations. And he's also saying, I'm not in lockstep with the one world order of the globalists, of the G8. And also in the Middle East, he had the opportunity to go over and speak to the Muslim leaders of 55 countries. Said, you know, you will have a friend if you stop terrorism and stop sponsoring of terrorism and stand up against terrorism. Powerful speech. Going to Jerusalem, going to the Western Wall, a very powerful trip there. And also telling Israel and the Sunni countries, you've got a coalition partner against the greatest threat in the Middle East, which is Iran. Well, I'll stand with you if that's necessary, which is necessary in the future. Sunnis are petrified of a nuclear Iran. Standing up against North Korea. Years of bad deals, American presidents and State Department officials, Sam. So that was big. And then this big new tax change. We'll see how it goes, but it's reassuring that there's been changes. Our corporations are going to have a reasonable corporate rate, tax rate, I mean, corporate tax rate. And there's a lot of and plus our U.S. market's probably up $5 or $7 trillion since it's taken off. You know, these are just some, Sam. I mean, we're going to have a lot more unravel in the next couple of weeks, but this has been a very significant, less than 12-month effort.
You know, Bill, it's interesting to see what's going on even since this tax bill. Overnight, we've heard of different corporations that are giving thousands of dollars of bonuses now to their employees simply because of what's taking place in Washington. And, you know, it right. seems like this president is always at work. He has a tremendous work ethic. I mean, we hear more about him working than any other president that I can recall in my lifetime. But you're around the White House. And so, Bill, as you examine the various policies declared and the decisions that have been made over this past year, which ones do you really think stands out to you as the most noteworthy and the most effective, perhaps in the long run?
Well, I think the support of the evangelicals. He has a 21-member advisory committee that meets with him frequently. He listens to them, he's comfortable with them, and he respects them. And he's fulfilling his obligation to allow freedom of speech for pastors and others, trying to get rid of the Johnson Amendment, which he's moving in that direction. They're doing it wisely and slowly. He can't do it too quickly. I mean, these judges are so crucial. When you look at all the decisions that the Supreme Court has made having to do with abortion and prayer and same-sex marriage and LGBT and even Obamacare, the judiciary is so important. We have so many judges legislating for the benches across America. So filling the courts with constitutional scholars that will fulfill our Constitution, I think that's very significant. I speak to a lot of audiences, and I can tell you what, the evangelicals are very appreciative that they have a friend in the White House and the vice president that they also have. Great respect for Mike Pence. 10 evangelicals on President Trump's cabinet. Unprecedented. Gary, those are the most significant things. And obviously for us that are great supporters of the state of Israel, we've never had a president that's been more supportive and stood stronger with Israel than Donald Trump.
Bill, I like what you said about Vice President Pence. My dad and he were good friends. The last time that I saw the two of them together before my dad passed away was in the governor's office in Indiana where I grew up, and they were praying together.
Wow.
And I just want, in the last few moments here, if you could maybe compare Vice President Pence's influence and role in administration compared to some of the other vice presidents, Biden and Cheney and Gore. What do you think? Are his influence, is it higher than normal? Is it about average? How would you explain that?
Well, I think it's very significant, Isaac. He's, as you know from knowing Vice President Pence, he's just a really solid believer, has a wonderful
Amen.
Relationship with his wife. Deeply respected when he was a member of Congress. He's a steady guy. He's very steady. And we've heard from Jerusalem Post and a few other newspapers in Israel, and I'm trying to confirm it on this end, that Vice President Pence had a lot to do with President Trump making this statement on Jerusalem now. In other words, we acknowledge that Jerusalem's the capital of Israel. We are going, since that's the capital of Israel, we're going to move our embassy to the capital city like we have in all other cities around the world. So Mike Pence had a very significant role there, and I think his very solid ability to communicate with President Trump as an evangelical, along with his ability to speak to the advisor committee, speaks volumes. So he's just been a steady force during a very tumultuous first 11 months, primarily because 90% of the news about Trump is negative, because 85 to 90% of the media that I work with are extremely liberal, and they don't like Trump. So Vice President Pence has been able to help navigate Washington, D.C. as well.
Well, Bill Koenig, thank you for being with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, hopefully this program today has encouraged you greatly. Gary, could I just ask you to again close us briefly in prayer as we wind down this program today?
Father, one of the things that we do ask is that in everything that we do in this nation, that truth will prevail and you will be exalted, particularly as we go into this Christmas season. And we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for being with us today on Stand in a Gap Today. And from Gary Dahl, Sam Rohr, and Isaac Crockett, and our special guest, Bill Koenig, we thank you for being with us. And until tomorrow, 23 hours from now, stand in the gap for truth wherever you are.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.